We are going to reflect on the journey that the Lord took the children of Israel through. There are a lot of lessons that apply to us, that are applicable to us today in that story, in that journey. Okay? Now, it begins by the Lord appearing to Moses through a burning bush, and the Lord, he begins to speak to Moses. Now, that is a wonder. That's really a miracle of note, that this man, he sees a bush that is burning, but the bush is not getting burned, and there is a voice that comes from the midst of the bush. That's a miracle. Now, the Lord, he speaks to Moses, and he sends him to Pharaoh in Egypt to go and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. God says, I'm sending you now, Moses, to Egypt, the very same place where you ran away from. Where you ran away from. And go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It's not a good instruction for Moses, because it does not know what Pharaoh would do to him. Because remember, Moses was a murderer and a fugitive on the run from Pharaoh. He committed a sin so great in Egypt that he killed an Egyptian. But anyway, this is God, friends, that he would tell you to go back to the people, to the place, to the country that you are running away from. That is God. That is God. Now the Lord, he then works mind-blowing, out of this world signs and wonders in Egypt. Right? The lot of signs and wonders that God begins to work out through the hand of Moses, accompanied by his brother Aaron. And lest we forget the plagues, the mighty hand of God that was revealed in that place. And these plagues, they culminate in a decimating, annihilating slaughter of all the firstborn males in Egypt. All the firstborn males, either or whether of animals or of people, it did not matter. Anything that was firstborn, it died. Now, this would be the straw that breaks Pharaoh's back. This would be the point of no return for Pharaoh. He capitulates finally, and he let Israel go. Now, Israel doesn't just leave Egypt. They don't just leave Egypt as servants and slaves that they were in Egypt, but they leave a very wealthy people overnight. That's a miracle, to be wealthy overnight. There is no time, there's no long period, you know, to for them to become wealthy, for them to become rich. But God, he does this thing instantly. He does this thing immediately. They become rich overnight. I want to tell you something. Anything that God wants for you, God, he does not need time. God created time. We say to have something or to be something, you require some time. No, no, not with God. He created time. Remember, God is not bound by time. Israel became rich. After 430 years, they became rich overnight. This is the God that we serve. This is the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He does not require time. You see, but what is most important with God is our cooperation with Him. The most important thing with God is our cooperation with Him. Not to say it's going to take a while, it's going to take a long time before I become prosperous, before I become rich, before I become successful. No, 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 no. All that stuff you are saying is but natural. It's but natural. God can give us anything He wants to give us anytime, anywhere, anyhow He chooses. Can we see that? Now Pharaoh, after having let them go, he has a change of heart and he regrets why he released Israel. Because Israel were their servants and their slaves. Now Pharaoh begins to pursue hard after them, and he corners and surrounds them eventually. He corners and he surrounds them eventually. Now Israel, caught between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, they have nowhere to run, they have nowhere to hide. Caught between the mighty army of Pharaoh and the Red Sea. They are caught in between. They've got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Sometimes we ourselves are caught between the rock and the hard place. We are caught between the rock and hard place. But the Bible says we must not despair. We must not despair. Let us understand something. The fact that they were caught up in that situation, it did not mean that God was not with them. It did not mean that God was not there. Sometimes we go through things and we say to ourselves, I'm going through this thing that I'm going through because God is not with me, because God is not around. No. It does not mean that. God never left Israel. When he delivered Israel from the land of Egypt, God never left Israel. When Israel got caught up between the rock and the hard place, God was much present with them. He never left Israel. And we ourselves, we also get caught between the rock and the hard place. But please, friends, when you get caught between the rock and the hard place, please do not lose your marbles and begin to change your speech and begin to speak doom. That's no sign that God is not with you. Sometimes we are hard-pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. That's what the Bible tells us. I say sometimes we are hard-pressed on every side. Why is it that it's easy for us to read these things, but when they manifest physically, it's as if we've never read about them. It's as if they don't exist in the scriptures. No, it is very much in the scriptures. It is there. Sometimes we are hard-pressed not on one side, but we are hard-pressed on every side. That time comes to every child of God. The Bible says we are not crushed. We are persecuted. Sometimes we are persecuted. We are troubled. We are shaken, but yet not forsaken. That means never left alone. Never left alone. The fact that I'm lacking food, money for food, it does not mean that God has forsaken me. The fact that I don't have money for my children's school fees does not mean that God has forsaken me. The fact that I don't have money for electricity does not mean that God has forsaken me. The fact that I got my services cut off by the municipality, it does not mean that God is no longer with me. The fact that my car is broken down, I do not have money to fix it, it does not mean that God is no longer with me. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, persecuted and yet not forsaken. Persecuted. Do you know what is persecution? Sometimes when you read scripture, there are key words. Underline them and look them up. Underline the word, look it up. When the Bible says persecuted but not forsaken, what does it mean? When, if you don't know what persecution is, how will you know when you're going through one? But there's an amazing thing with God. God says when you're going through persecution, it does not mean that I've forsaken you. That's why he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Who gets that? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Sometimes we are struck down. We are dealt paralyzing blows, yet we're not destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes we are struck down, we are dealt paralyzing blows, disabling blows, yet we are not destroyed. The children of God, they go through a lot of things. Why do they go through a lot of things? Because it's God who permits them to go through a lot of things. It's not the devil. Satan doesn't lead you. He doesn't permit you to go through things. Permission comes from above. Permission comes from the Lord. Now here's the thing, friends. Why would God set Israel free from slavery only to lead them into a death trap? Only to lead them into a dead end? Why would he do that? God, you just delivered them. These people were there for 130 years. You just delivered them. Now they are running into a death trap. Now they are running into a dead end. It does not make sense at all. Does it make sense? No, at least to our mortal human mind, it does not make sense. Our mortal human mind, it does not make sense. But here's the thing, in this pickle that they find themselves in, the Lord, he performed yet another profound, outstanding miracle. It's like at this point, Israel is living They're living their lives from miracle to miracle. From miracle to miracle. The situation that you find yourself in is God who allowed it, and God knows what He is going to do. Every situation that God permits, God knows what He's going to do. Hallelujah. The Bible says it does not allow us to go through anything that the Lord has not already made a way of escape with it. Sometimes I have a feeling that the Word of God, it only makes sense to us when we quote it for others. I say, I really have a feeling that to a lot of us, the Word of God only makes sense when we quote it for others. But when we are in the situation, we give the word a different interpretation. The Lord, He then parted the waters of the Red Sea, and He caused Israel to walk down on dry ground in the sea. You see, they are caught in between the rock and a hard place. They don't know where to go to. There's nowhere. Even if they wanted to run, there's nowhere to run. Even if they wanted to hide, there is nowhere to hide for Israel. And yet again, God appears. God appears. Whatever we go through, God will appear. He appears all the time. But even when He appears, it doesn't mean that He left in the first place. David says, even I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God allows His beloved to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is always a season. It is always a season. It is always a season. Let us not lose our marbles. Let us not lose our bearing because of a season. Let us not make permanent decisions because of a season. Please, let us not make permanent decisions because of a season. Season comes and goes, but your decision will be permanent. Season comes and goes, but the decision you make will be permanent. Hallelujah. The Lord, He slays Pharaoh and his entire army when they tried also to walk on water, not even on water, they tried to walk in the sea, pursuing hard after Israel. You see, God had never left Israel. Let me tell you, if you're born again, you are blood washed, you are spirit filled, you are a word person, God has never left you, not even one moment. God will never leave you. I say, God will never leave you. Israel had God constantly dwelling and journeying with them. We have God constantly dwelling and journeying with us. Not just dwelling, please. God, He dwells with us. God, He dwells in us. But God also journeys with us. The faith walk is a journey. I say the faith walk is a journey. We set ourselves for disappointment when we arrive, when we have the arrival mentality. We set ourselves for great disappointment. We don't arrive in faith. Faith is a journey. God, it takes us from place to place. It takes us from situation to situation. It takes us from moment to moment. Faith is a journey. Those of you who are in this place today who have truly been born again, you know that this is another phase of your life. From the time that we're born again, look at the phases that you pass through. Why? Because faith is a journey. Please, let us not have an arrival mentality. Israel was never alone without God in the wilderness. Sometimes we go through the wilderness of our lives. Israel was never without God. Was never without God in the wilderness. Israel was never without God. We are looking at the parallels. We are looking, not even parallels, we are looking at the comparison between us and Israel, how God deals with His people. We are looking at how God dealt with them and how they responded in this journey, and how God, He journeys with us in this walk of faith. We also through go wildernesses. I say we also go through wildernesses. But we are never alone without God in a wilderness. We are never alone without God in any difficult situation. We are never alone without God in any difficulty. God has sworn by Himself that He would never leave nor forsake. He has sworn by Himself, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God is not meant to lie. God is a faithful God. Hallelujah. In our wilderness moments, we are never alone, Church of Jesus Christ, although it doesn't feel like it sometimes. In our wildernesses, we are never alone without God, but it does not always feel like that. I say it does not always feel like that. But you see, faith is not a feeling. It does not matter how we feel. It does not matter what we feel. Faith is not a feeling. We don't go around everywhere and say, I feel the presence of God. Otherwise, we'd be lying. You don't feel the presence of God all the time, but you know by faith that God dwells in you. I say, you know by faith that God is with you. You know by faith that God surrounds you. You know by faith that God has got you covered. It's God you covered. God doesn't set you free to leave you. God does not set you free to leave you. Otherwise, it would be a very irresponsible God. God never set Israel free from Egypt only to dump them in the wilderness. He did not set them free only to leave them. God, He sets you free to stay with you. I say, God, He sets you free to stay with you. I say, God, He sets you free to stay with you. The God who delivered us from the world, He delivered us to stay with us. We are never alone without God at any moment. He's our pillar of cloud by day and our pillar of fire by night. I say God is our pillar of cloud by day and is our pillar of fire by night. We are constantly under God's eye. We are constantly under God's surveillance, under God's providence, under God's provision, under God's grace. We are never alone at any point, at any time. The one who promised that I would never leave you and never forsake you, He's not man to change His mind. He's not man to change His mind. Glory to God. Exodus 14, 10 to 12. Exodus 14, 10 to 12. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. These are the people that have seen the mighty hand of God. They've seen plagues that God has worked out, has wrought in Egypt. They've seen this. There's been a slaughter, a massive slaughter, a mass slaughter of the firstborn in Egypt, the firstborn males in Egypt. But yet their own children did not die. Their own firstborn did not die. After all of these things, these people, they say what they say. Human beings are hard indeed, very hard. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, that thou taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? Moses, why did you deal with us this way? To carry us forth out of Egypt. Why did you do this? You are such a cruel man. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Didn't we tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone. Moses, we told you, leave us alone. Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. My goodness. Serve who? Serve the Egyptians. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. God led them out by a strong and a mighty hand. They saw everything that God, the signs and the wonders, the miracles that God performed in Egypt. Yet at the appearance of difficulty, at the appearance of adversity, they soon forget all the goodness of the Lord that He did with them. It is like unto man. God can be good. 360 days. God is good. But just that one day. Pastor is good. We are following Pastor. He's our leader. But that one day. Then Pastor is an elephant without tusks. At the appearance of difficulty, they soon forget all that the Lord has done for them. Now listen to what they say. They say Egypt was better. When you say Egypt was better, what was in Egypt? Slavery and bondage. Imagine a human being saying, who was born in it. This is a generation, those that were there from the beginning, they died because they'd been there for 430 years. You were born into this. You were born into this. And they say it was better. Friends, these are the people that have become comfortable. Sometimes people become comfortable in their bondage. They become comfortable in their slavery. They become comfortable in their pain. They become comfortable in their misery. People become comfortable in their limitation. Hey, people become comfortable in their stagnation. And don't come and tell them something else. They're comfortable. They said it was better. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Didn't we tell you it was better that we serve the Egyptians? Israel did not want to be disturbed. They didn't want to be disturbed, but disturbed from what, church? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, that we may serve our slave masters, that we may serve our tormentors, our torturers, our abusers, our capturers. This is why you have heard it said that there are people that fall in love with their abusers. They fall in love. They fight tooth and nail for their abusers. They protect and defend their abusers until the abuser kills them. Human beings. Human beings. The people of God, the people that God made. And I learned something from this by way of revelation. Not everyone is looking for freedom. Let us not make that mistake. Let us not make that mistake to assume that everyone is looking for freedom, that everyone is looking for a better life. There are people sitting here. Not everyone is looking for freedom. Some people, they love their slavery. They love their bondage because sin is bondage. Sin is slavery. They don't want to come out of it. That's why when you talk about it, you offend them. You offend them. They love their capturer, the devil. They say, bring it on, master. Here we are. People have become familiar with mediocrity. People have become familiar with the status quo. Israel preferred slavery and bondage to freedom. This is true story. They preferred their bondage, their slavery, to the freedom that God was giving them. In the wilderness, they wanted to go back. In the wilderness, they wanted to go back. Go back. But go back to what? The Egyptians' impact on Israel, it lingered on for many years. To some of them, it lingered for a lifetime. The impact of Egypt, the impact of the Egyptians on Israel, even when they were out of Egypt. Even when they're out of Egypt, sometimes God, not sometimes, always, but after that God has set people free. After that God has released people, God has set them free. You'll find that they still long to go back to that which was killing them, to that which was destroying them, to that which was harming them. There are people who cannot deliver them from what is harming them. And some of them, they know this thing is harmful to me, but they will not leave it. It is said that you can take the man out of the village, but you cannot take the village out of the man. And this is why it is difficult for some people to completely shake off the world and the ways of the world. Completely difficult. Because although Israel was delivered by God, by a strong and mighty hand of God out of Egypt, but God had to deal with Egypt in them. God had to deal with Egypt in them. Some of us are born again today, but notice our ego is still intact. Some of us are born again today, but notice our pride is intact. Some of us are born again today, but notice we are still aggressive by nature. We are still hostile by nature. This is not the new nature that we are given in the new birth. Although God has set some of us out of the world, He has delivered us. He has delivered us. According to Colossians 1 and 13, He has delivered us. But the world is still very much. Some of us haven't been born again for over 10 years, but we are still cursing to this day. We're still cursing, and we find cursing to be normal. You see that? Egypt is still there. The world is still there. has never gone out of a person. We still love the places that God has delivered us from. We still love those places. And we make excuse to say that if we don't go there, who's going to save them? Did God make you the savior of the people? When did God give you the title that you are a savior? Since when did you become a savior? If I don't go there, really, the world revolves around you? No. God will send someone who's not affected by that environment, not you. You don't qualify. Because you're affected by that environment. Israel had become dependent on their slave masters. See, that's the thing with bondage. We become dependent. This is why some people, even when God says, now it's time for you to go to leave your job and go and start your business, but because we've become dependent on our paymasters, we are comfortable. We are at peace. We know, come hell or high water, when it comes payday, my paymaster. That's dependency on the paymaster. Israel had become dependent on their slave masters. Oh my goodness. They had developed a slave mentality. A slave mentality is the mentality that takes no initiative. No initiative. That's why people love a job. Even if the Lord says leave, no, because they don't want to take initiative. Slave mentality does not take any initiative. Slave mentality has no accountability, has got no responsibility. That's why some people are still living at home today, even though they are 45 years old, they are not living because they have no sense of accountability and responsibility. None whatsoever. This is why people don't want God to disturb them. God must not move me. God must not touch me. God must not shake me. Why? Because you have no sense of accountability and responsibility. Because when God moves you, then you have to stand on your 2 feet. But a slave mentality says no. 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 Doesn't want to move. Does not want to shift. Israel did not realize when the Lord was changing their status. May we not miss this. There comes a time when God changes your status. And when it changes your status, it's going to disturb you. And when it changes your status, it's going to shake you. And when it changes your status, God is going to sift you. God is going to shift you. Israel did not realize when God was changing their status from servants and slaves to being freed men and women. You realize when God is changing our status. What was the wilderness? A transition. Do you realize when we are in transition? Some of us will dislike transition so much that we'd want to settle immediately. Why? Because transition is uncomfortable. But we don't determine the time. God does. I said we don't determine the time of the transition. When we're going through transition, let us not rush to settle down. Let us rush to hear what God says. I say, let us rush to hear. Israel, they still wanted to remain the same. Is there anyone here who still wants to remain the same? Listen to me, you people of God. Change brings discomfort. Change brings dis-ease. Change brings discomfort, brings dis-ease, brings a shaking, a shifting, and a sifting. Change brings discomfort, dis-ease, shaking, shifting, sifting. Let us not forget, Israel had built houses in Egypt. It takes time to build your house. Like they did then, they did not have loans or anything. They literally built their houses from scratch. And only to be told that today is your last day. And number two, don't take anything. We are told don't take anything. All the pots from Boyle or Susan Boyle, I don't know. They say you can't carry those pots. You must leave everything behind. Can you see that? Yes. That's called a shaking, a shifting, and a sifting. Is it by mistake? No. Is it by coincidence? No. It is very deliberate with God. When you're doing, there are university people here, when you fail your year, so you assume that God was not with you. If God was with you, why did you fail? You see, he is talking exactly like Israel coming out of Egypt. If God was with me, why did I fail this subject? If God was with me, why am I repeating the year? Okay, go to heaven, fly. Go ask him. Because God has told you he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he told you. Friends, change brings a new status quo. Change brings a new reality. New reality. This is what Israel was fighting against. They were fighting against the new reality that they suddenly found themselves in. Change brings a new reality. The only thing that is constant, as you know, it is change. After this, there's another phase. After that phase, there's another thing. On and on it goes. On and on it goes. Will God settle you? Of course he will settle you. But as far as your general faith is concerned, the change is constant. The change is constant. Verse number 15 of 14, Exodus. Verse number 15 of 14, Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Look at the neighbor. Why are you crying? Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Speak unto them that they go forward. Stop crying and get a move on. Stop crying and get a move on. Move on. Move on. You know, we are like so losers. When someone dumps you, you beg them. Some people are like, they're so losers. When someone dumps you, you beg, please don't leave me, baby. I'll change. No, 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 no. Get a move on. Get a move on. If you don't move, nothing changes. And this is the movement that we resist. But if we don't move, nothing changes. Things are changing. Don't stop. Move forward. I say things are changing. Don't stop. Move forward. Things are not as they used to be. Things are not as they used to be. Don't stop. Keep moving. Don't stop. Move forward. You may not understand. It's a bit unsettling now. You may not understand. It's a bit unsettling now. But don't stop. Move forward. Keep moving. Keep moving. Follow the change. Move with the change. God is at hand. He never left. Move with the change. Follow the change. God is at hand. He never left. He never left. God is leading us moment by moment. He is leading us situation by situation. This is what it means to live by faith when God is leading you moment by moment. The Bible says the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means I have to believe God for every move that I make. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. You don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. Now that is living by faith. And that's the thing that we don't want. But what opposes faith? The flesh. We are so used to being in charge. We want to know exactly where we will be tomorrow. We want to know exactly what we'll be doing tomorrow. We want to know exactly who we'll be with tomorrow. We want to know exactly at what time. Now, when God comes and disturbs your equilibrium, you lose your marbles. I say, when God comes and disturbs your equilibrium, then you lose your marbles. He is leading us moment by moment, situation by situation. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but God knows everything. I say God knows everything. Verses 19 and 20. Exodus 14. Oh, Exodus 14, 19 and 20. Yeswilo samanyunyu. I hope I said it right. Did I say it right? And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel. What does that mean? The angel was going ahead of them, in front of them. The angel moved. Oh my goodness. The angel moved. God moved. Oh my goodness. Maybe some of us were still looking for God where God used to be. We are still insisting that God must be where we last left God, but God has moved. This angel, he never moved until this time. This angel was always ahead of them. He never moved, ever. But when he moved, he moved. If they went to look for him where he was, they wouldn't find him there. If they went to look for God where the angel was, they wouldn't find God there. He moved and he went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and went behind them. God moved. When the angel moves, the pillar moves. Why was the angel forward? Why was the pillar in front of them? Because that's the direction where they were going, right? But now they move behind. They move behind. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, that it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Listen, you people of God, the grace of God moves in the direction of the will of God. Remember, the Lord says, Moses, why are you crying unto me? Go and tell the people to move forward. Tell them to move forward. But now here's the thing. Forward, there's a sea. Now God says, I'm going to move from here so that they don't go back, because I don't want them to go back. So I'm going to move from before them. I'm going to stand behind them so that they don't go back, but they move forward. Keep moving. Things have changed. Keep moving. God is aware. He's the reason for the change. Things are no longer as they used to be. Keep moving, church. Losing your job doesn't mean you must stop. Your company is not making profit, so you are stopping? No. The person who promised to marry you, they're now absconding on you. Now life must stop? Of course not. What is the Lord saying? Move where? Forward only we go. No matter what happens. The Red Sea did not stop Israel from moving forward. What is stopping you? Here's a predicament, an impossible situation. God says, move forward. You say, God, are you crazy? That's the kind of attitude we give to God. God knows the difficult, but he says, don't stop. I know where I'm taking you. Move forward. Don't stop. Don't stop. Lord, there's a wall here. There's a bulwark here. There's a wall. God says, keep moving. When is the miracle? The miracle is when you move. Until you move, you won't see the miracle. You move. Listen, friends, the grace of God will only sustain you. The grace of God will only keep you. The grace of God will only protect you. The grace of God will only provide for you in line with the direction where the will of God is taking you. God only provides. The grace of God is there. The providence of God is there. But in line with the will, the direction of the will of God. Where does God want you to go? Where does God want you to be? Two questions. Where does God want you to go? Where does God want you to be? If you can figure that out, nothing will stop you. If you can figure that, nothing will stop you. Where does he want me to go? And where does he want me to be? Period. Period. The provision will be there. The providence will be there. The grace will be there. The protection will be there. Where does he want me to be? I may want to be in Alberton, but God wants me to be in Bryanston. You see, then if I go to Alberton, there'll be no grace. I will dry up in Alberton. I will wither in Alberton, because that's not where the will of God is for me. That's why we need to find out, where does he want me to go? Where does he want me to be? Once we answer that, then the provision of grace will be unlimited. It will be unlimited. Exodus says, I'm closing right now. Chapter 13. We go to do things where God did not want us, and we lose them and we blame him for it. We buy a car when it's not the time for the car, we lose the car, we blame God for it. We buy a house when it's not time for the house and we lose the house, we blame God for it. We go to rent when God does not want us to go emqashweni, and things dry up and say, puma futhi emqashweni, and we say to God, why are you embarrassing me? But God, that was not his will in the first place. When you are in the will of God, no one can move you. No one. But when the time is up, there's no grace to protect you. Move with God. Move with God. Move with God. Exodus 13, verse number 17, the NIV. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. God did not, church, I can't hear you. God did not. So who was leading? God. Who is leading you? With everything in you, you want to be in Centurion. But does God want to be you to be in Centurion? With everything in you, you want to be at PricewaterhouseCoopers. But does God want you to be at PricewaterhouseCoopers? Who is leading here? Who is leading? See, it's God who was leading them. There's something juicy. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. There was a shorter way from Egypt to Canaan. Logically, use the shorter route. But God says, that's why I'm asking, who is leading you? Because we are always looking for the convenient. We are always looking for the shorter route. You're always looking for comfort. You're always looking for aircon. Always looking for comfortable seats. Oh, my goodness. Who's leading who? Who is leading who? God, sometimes he can lead you through inconvenience and leave the convenience. No, the convenience is there, but he leaves it. He takes you through inconvenience. It does not take smoothness to smooth out your rough places. It takes raggedness. So God will take you through raggedness because of what he wants to accomplish on you. If you take smooth something, it cannot smooth out something rough. No, God is looking for raggedness. And God will find the raggedness. And he's going to put you through the raggedness because God wants to smooth the ragged places of your life. Who wants rugged? Nobody. But when heaven has sanctioned Who can say no? Who can say no? God, He leads us where He wants, and He leads us how He wants. Let's settle that. God, He leads us where He wants. He leads us how He wants. There are quicker and easier ways. There are quicker and easier ways for the Lord to get us what we want. Easier and quicker. Come on, church. Easier and quicker. God can raise Saul Kessner from the tomb and come and give us the most beautiful building ever. There are quicker and easier ways for God to get us what we want. But God knows best. God knows best. I say God knows best. Listen to NLT. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road. Main road. There was a main road because I'm not going to take the main road. But the main road is easier. My daughter is straight. Science. Dr. Tana is a scientist. The straight path is the quickest from point to point. The straight path. No, don't go winding. Go straight. Because there's no, I'm not going to take that one. Back road, baby. Conscious. God said, I'm not going to take that one. God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory. Even though, now listen, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land, why did God not use? There was the shortest route. Why did he not use it? There was the shortest route. God, He made the earth. Google Maps does not know everything, but God knows everything. There was the shortest route. There was a main road. There was a main road from Egypt to Canaan, but God did not use it. We need to humble ourselves. Instead of destroying ourselves, we need to humble ourselves. Friends, the journey from Egypt to Canaan was 613 kilometers. 613. Should have taken Israel 11 days to arrive. And yet, it took them 40 years. 613 kilometers, almost a little bit further between Joburg and Durban, just around. Even if you and I really, we were running away from, I nearly mentioned the name, even if you and I were running away from anything, it's not going to take us 40 years from here to Durban. No, but why? Did you hear what I just said? But why? Number one, this is the why. The slave mentality. The mentality of mediocrity cannot inherit the land, cannot inherit the blessings, cannot inherit the promises. The slave mentality, the mentality of mediocrity, that's the, they had the wrong mind within them. They had the wrong mind. The wrong mind cannot possess the blessings of God. The wrong mind cannot possess the promises of God. This use, and God knew better. Remember what they were saying? Says Moses, it's better. We told you to leave us alone, but you insisted. You insisted. Pastor, why did we leave? We told you, let's remain here, Pastor. We'll make a way. But you, Pastor, you see, we told you, leave us alone. You know what I mean? God wants proactiveness. That's the mentality God is looking for. When you get home, Google the word proactive to understand it. That's what God is looking for. But the slave mentality does not have it. The slave mentality sits down on its two hands and waits for things to come to it. That's a slave mentality. No. That mentality in Canaan will not operate. Will not operate. God wants proactiveness, accountability, and responsibility. God had to teach them accountability, responsibility through the wilderness. If he had taken them before time, listen to me, they could have destroyed the land. The land flowing with milk and honey, with the mentality, the mindset they had, they could have destroyed the land. This is the reason some of us, we have destroyed the blessings that God had given us. And by the way, this time we have lost everything because of the wrong mentality. You see, the wrong mentality cannot keep the blessing. It's got no accountability. It's got no responsibility. No sense of accountability. No sense of responsibility. That is why you can give someone a wonderful, beautiful home. By the time you come back in 3 months, that house has become a bush. Slave mentality. God says, no, I'm not going to give you my land and you go destroy it. I'm not going to give you my land, go destroy it. Hallelujah. We want our own building. God gives us a big, beautiful building. Now my question is this, will you take care of it? Will you? Will you clean it? Will you clean the bathrooms? Will you mow the lawn? Would you do it? You see? Or you would come, church starts at 9 o'clock, you'll be there 5 to 9. But you are the one who says, God bless me. No. 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 When the service is over, will you remain behind to make sure that the place is clean? To make sure that there are no leftover bottles? To make sure that there's no leftover debris? Would you do that? Huh? Now, that's what God wants to develop inside. That mentality. That mentality. Why? Because with that mentality, you are able to maintain what God gives you. Can maintain it. Number two, friends, number two, the why. Some people and some things must die in the wilderness. We are carrying people that with them we can never possess anything from God. There are some people and some things that must die in the wilderness. If it takes you to destroy your SIM card and get a brand new one, so let it be. If it gets you to have a brand new number, let it be. There are some things. This is the reason, Pastor Fancy, when we get married, we don't keep everyone. Now that I'm married. No, you don't keep everyone. There are friends that we have to distance yourself from. There are friends that you have to leave, you have to forsake them. Why? Because God has changed your status. Change of status. God changes status. That means everything else must change. Everything else must change. Number three, friends. In the wilderness, the Lord reveals himself to us. In the wilderness, the Lord reveals himself to us to know him. In the wilderness, this is why God was performing miracle after miracle after miracle. He was revealing himself to Israel. He was revealing himself to these people, all right, so that they know him. Why? Because Canaan is not just the land flowing with milk and honey. Canaan is a relationship with the living God. God wants to have a relationship with you before he gives you everything that you want. Because once he gives you everything that you want, you'll care nothing about seeking him. You'll care nothing about pursuing him. You'll care nothing about building a relationship with him. You see? Canaan is not just physical, but it's a relationship with God. Relationship with God. That's why after we've been through hard knocks, when freedom comes, we really, really relish it. Truffles, we relish it. We relish it. I got married when I was 32 years old. 32. I got married. I have always said to my wife, when I marry, I will never divorce. I said, Lord, please, I beg you, when I marry, I don't want to divorce. I got married at 32 when everybody else that I knew had gotten married already. But here's the thing, because I've been single for so long, when I got married, I relished the freedom of marriage. I did. That's how it is with us. When you've been through the wilderness, you relish the freedom, the abundance, the overflow, the blessing of God in Canaan. That's how it is. But without the wilderness, you may not be able to cherish it. You may not be able to appreciate it without the wilderness. You see, this is one of the reasons why God allows the wilderness. The wilderness is a servant of God. God uses the wilderness to do his work. The wilderness. It is the wilderness. This is why the Lord kept on saying, do not forget where I took you out of. Because that, it keeps us, as you people of God use big English of these days, it keeps us centered. It centers you. To remember where the Lord has taken me from, it centers you. And God says, don't forget it. Because if you forget, you're going to lose the center. Where God has taken us from. If we are happy today, let's clap hands for Jesus.